Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
Well, good morning, church. Right, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to read from the book of Luke. Just a little housekeeping thing too. We've got a couple of new Night Connects that are going to be starting in the next few weeks as well. So that's going to be excellent. So watch this space for more news. And we know that Sunday is so incredibly important in the life of the church, but also fellowshipping through the week, fellowshipping much more as you see the day approaching, and that day is closer than it's ever been, isn't it? Amen? Good. Right, so Luke chapter 5 from verse 33, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Then he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts a piece of a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new one makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is better." And then from the Message, just verses 36 through to 39. "No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. You want fabrics that match, and you don't put wine in old cracked bottles. You get strong, clean bottles for your fresh vintage wine. And no one who has ever tasted fine aged wine prefers unaged wine." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We declare in this house that your word is truth. From Genesis right through to Revelation, we declare, Lord, that your word will be preached and continue to be preached in this house, Father, according to your purpose and your plan and as your spirit gives utterance. Father, we thank you this morning that your word is milk for those who need milk and meat for those who need meat. And God, we thank you this morning that every one of us here in this place and those online will receive from you what they need, what each one of us needs, Lord God. One more step in the road towards, Lord God, falling further and further and deeper in love with you and walking in such obedience, Lord God. Father, we commit this time into your hands. Let my words, Lord God, be your words. Let no one see me, but only you. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. God, I just ask that you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer. In the precious and the most holy name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. This is a well-known passage of Scripture, and we've heard probably lots and lots of messages preached on this about the old wine and the new wine. But yesterday we had prayer meeting over at the function hall, and as we were praying, God just began to drop some stuff into my spirit, and I got my pen and paper out and just started to jot things down, and they just really impacted me in my spirit, and I really felt like this is what the Spirit of God is wanting to say to his church now, both here and online. I really sense that God is about to do an incredibly new thing. But to embrace the change and to go with what God has for each and every one of us, we really need to understand the scriptural basis for it, and we need to understand the times that we're living in, and we need to have those open hearts and pure hearts and clean hands like we sang this morning, and good grace, because he is an incredibly good God. The parables that we're going to look at this morning follow Jesus' recruitment of Levi as a disciple. And they those parables all occur around a discussion regarding the Pharisees coming to him saying, you know, why do your disciples do this when ours don't? And Jesus' response was like this. He spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new one makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. That's from Matthew, that one. And this morning I really want us to have a look at the wine and what's the difference between new wine and old wine and what the Bible says about it and why does Jesus talk about the wine, the new wine and the old wine. When the Bible speaks about old wine, it could be referring to, and many scholars say that it's referring to old covenant teaching, and the new wine relating to the new covenant teaching. Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about the fact that John the Baptist's disciples fasted, but Jesus' disciples ate and drank like there was no need to fast. So what was Jesus trying to tell them through that? He gives the parable right after this, probably to clarify what he just told them. And he says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. And I'm going to be reading these scriptures over and over today because the word does its work. The word is what we come around here, not my ideas or not my philosophy or man's philosophy, but God's word, because God's word is truth in this house. Amen. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be destroyed, but the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And the point was that after drinking the old, no one wants that new wine. No one wants fresh, bubbly, frothy, take your breath away wine after they've been drinking of the mellow wine, the old wine, the wine that is sensitive to the palate, that just flows down and doesn't upset anyone. You know, he may have also been referring to the fact that the ministry of John the Baptist, he was the last Old Testament prophet. But does the Old Covenant or the Old Testament represent the old wine and Jesus, the new and better covenant, represent the new wine? The Old Covenant will not fit into the mould of the new covenant because they're not the same. And like putting new wine into old wineskins, it's going to keep expanding, it's going to ferment, it's going to bubble, it's going to stretch, and it's going to burst the old wineskins. The difference between the old and the new is also shown in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent as the old, than the old, as the covenant. He mediates, it is better, since it is enacted on better promises. You can't fit the old covenant or the Mosaic covenant of animal sacrifices into the new because Jesus' perfect once for all sacrifice where he shed his blood on that cross for you and for me meant it was a finished act. It was done once and for all. So we're in the new covenant. We're in the New Testament. And you can't have a New Testament unless the testator has died and then a new one comes into place. You see, the sacrifices in the Old Testament only covered sin for once. But Jesus' sin, Jesus' shed blood takes the sin of the whole world away when we come to him, when we rely on him, when we accept him as Saviour, when we accept him as Lord. And this is what Jesus meant at the last Passover meal he had with his disciples before he went to the cross. In Luke 22:20, it says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And as such, Jesus became the guarantor of a better covenant, Hebrews 7:22. This is all very theological. This is the bread, and we're going to put the topping on shortly. So just bear with me as I build that foundation in the Word, okay? Wow, God is so good. It's by calling the covenant new that he has made one, the first one, obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Hebrews 8:13. Because Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. Hebrews 12:24. How is it better than the blood of Abel? Remember, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and he made blood sacrifices, so Jesus' sacrifice is infinitely more superior than Abel's, or for animal sacrifices. For it doesn't have to be repeated over and over again. It was a one for all time sacrifice that Jesus did it for you and for me and for the whole world. Only they don't yet know it, but they will. Let's go a bit deeper. New wine. During the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on believers and they began to speak in other languages. And those who heard them speak in other languages, they accused the believers of being drunk. These men are full of new wine, they said, Acts 2:13. Have you ever seen people that have been drunk? Have you ever been drunk? Yeah, don't answer that. I have been. And, you know, drunk actions are without inhibition. You know, or sometimes you can become quite melancholic if you have too many drinks as well. You can withdraw into yourself. But for many, it's an opportunity to become the sanguine. The inner sanguine is released and they can, you know, become quite outlandish. And so those looking on the day of Pentecost saw these men who were filled with a new wine, but it was the wine of the Spirit of God, and accuse them of being drunk. Do you know, so often when we are flowing in the Spirit of God, when we're doing the new thing that God wants to do in us, people can look on us and say, they shouldn't be doing that. Why are they doing that? That's not right. That's inappropriate, you know. And sometimes it might be too. But do you know God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the things that are not, and calls them as if they are? And God even spoke through a donkey, so why would he not speak through you and through me? Why would he not fill us with that capacity to love others, to love him with all our hearts and our souls and our minds, and then to be his mouth, to speak the words of life, to speak the words of love, to speak the words of compassion for those that are hurt, those who are lost, those who are dying? Why would he not use us? Why would he say, well, you're bald, you can do it, but you've got a beard, so you can't. You're a female, you can't do it, but you're a male, you can. You're Greek, you can do it, but you're Hebrew, you can't. Know. That's not God. That was Old Testament. That was Mosaic, and that was the law as was given in the Old Testament. We're under a New Testament. We're under a new covenant. We have been brought into a place of liberty and freedom in God, where it's not according to our birth or our status, it's according to our purpose and plan in God, the gifting that's upon our life, and the purpose that he has for each and every one of us. And that should set us free, and that should make us really happy. And can we be happy in the house today? Hallelujah. You see, we can be bound and shackled by the things that have been comfortable, like the old wine. It's mellow, it's sedate, it's comfortable. Or we can embrace the new wine, the new thing that God wants to do, the thing that he wants to do in our hearts to set us free so that we can be beacons of life and speakers of love, his love and his word to those that need to hear, need to know that God is able to do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I'm getting passionate about this because I refuse to be a slave any longer to the law that would bind us from the Old Testament. There's not one jot or one tittle of the law that passes away. But by the new covenant, the New Testament and the Spirit of God, we are free within the confines that God places around us to do the things that he wants us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Who's getting excited in the house this morning? Amen. God's going to do amazing things. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Wow, God is good. Sometimes we're insulted. Sometimes people are critical. Sometimes people are negative when we step up to the plate to do the things that God's called us to do. Do you know what? Those things can hurt. Those things can semi-paralyze at times. But at the end of the day, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God sets us free. When God brings conviction, that's when we need to listen and that's when we need to adjust and do the things He's giving us. But if we are coming under condemnation, it is not of God. And you can rebuke those words in the name of Jesus and that will set you free, because we should not be bound by fear, we should not be bound by the lies of the enemy, and we should not be bound by any limitation that God has not placed on us. Sometimes when we look from the outside of a situation, we don't get the full picture. And sometimes if we're those who like the old wine, sometimes we don't get the full understanding, because we can be sitting and sipping gently and there are things going off all around us, like corks popping, the new wine of the Spirit of God. So when we're looking at the things, look to God. When we're listening to the things, bring it to God. Bring it through into the Spirit and say, God, what are you doing here? God, what are you saying here? God, what do you want to do in me through this? What's happening? Let God direct your thoughts and let God direct your actions. We need to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And so much has been brought out in the worship service this morning that really cements the things that I feel God is saying to the church today. The Holy Spirit, and that's the new wine. You see, we're under this new age of grace that Jesus paid for with His own blood. And it shouldn't surprise us that people don't understand it, because naturally people are going to say, after tasting the old wine, the new is not better. They'll say the old is good, and it may have been good. But you know, even old wine can go off. New wine's full of froth and it's full of bubble. And it can take your breath away. I want God to take my breath away. I want God to move so powerfully that He takes our breath away in this house. Not for the experience, but because we love God and we want to love Him more and more and be used by Him more and more, so that this place is not a bless me club. This place can be seen as a watering hole for those who are thirsty, those who are parched, those who need to have a drink of the Spirit of God, that they can come into this place and know that the Word is going to do its job as it's preached every time the Bible is opened in this place, and know that they will be met with love, know that they will be met with compassion, know that they will be met by people who are not perfect, but love a perfect God, and that change can be wrought in lives. And we're all works in progress, every single one of us. Every single one of us is at a place where we weren't there yesterday or maybe last week, but we are not where we're going to be next week either. Because as we allow the Spirit of God to infiltrate our lives in every fibre of our being and every aspect of our life, then He will do the changing in us. Not people. We can imitate them as they imitate Christ. But at the end of the day, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Because it's all about Him. Not about us. It's about Him. But we are the vessels that He chooses to fill. When we are born again by His Spirit, He fills us. We're indwelt by His Spirit. You know, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes down the track, and some of us are baptized in the Spirit, some of us are not. But it doesn't negate the fullness of God within you and His ability to use you and work through you, regardless of where you're at, regardless of your walk, where you've been, because God is taking you from glory unto glory unto glory as you behold Him and as you see His face and as you reflect Him in your lives. That's what the new wine does. That's what the new wine does in our hearts and in our lives. And it's awesome. And I want to ask you today, church, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Wow. It can be so confronting. It can also put fear in our hearts. We can be afraid of the things that we see. We can be afraid of the things that God may be asking us to do. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And our mind is washed when we renew it with the washing of the word. And it's the word that we look to. It's not philosophy. It's the word. And I'm spitting and it's awesome. It's the word. Because the word, when you put it into your spirit, when you feast on the word, it fills your spirit. And when you least expect it and something is required of you, out it will come. And you think, where'd that come from? Where did that come from? Because it's spiritual petrol in your tank, fixing you in a place of stability in God and understanding that we are people of the Spirit and God is doing an amazing thing. And we need to ask ourselves, what is the Spirit of God wanting to do in our midst? Do we want to be comfortable? Or do we want His kingdom to come in power? His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven, in your lives as it is in heaven, in your circumstances as it is in heaven. He wants to move by His Spirit. God wants to do something amazing in the days that we're living in. But He needs open vessels. He needs available vessels. And we may not feel very able, but if we're available, we avail ourselves and He will make us able. Avail, able. See what I did there with that word? If we make ourselves available, He will fill us. He will use us. Might not be comfortable. It might challenge us and He might finger something in your life that you thought was hidden and that you thought was not an issue for you, and He might finger it and say, I want to deal with this now. And that might be painful. But you know, whenever the Spirit of God starts to speak to you and move in your life and wants to bring change in your heart, that's the only time that we should allow it. Because when God brings change, He brings it and He makes it permanent. And if we allow Him to do it, it's for good. Because God never tears down except to build up. He takes the ruin and He brings restoration. And we all have stories in our own lives of how He's taken a wretch like me, saved us and brought us to a place where we can call Him our Father, our Abba Father, our Lord and our God. And He's placed our feet on the rock. And that rock is the rock of our salvation. His name is Jesus. And then He's given us water to drink from that rock. And that water is the Spirit of God. And in His presence, there is incredible fullness of joy. And I just see that the worship in this house is going to continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And in His presence, we're going to see those things happen that have been the cry of our heart for years. And I say our heart, not our hearts, because we are as one in unity, in the vision that God has given us for this place. That this church is a bridge between God and man, God and this community. God wants to do amazing things. Like the new creations we are, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Our old wineskins, if we've been in the Lord a long time, we might be saying today, what about my old wineskin? It's going to burst. My old wineskin, it's just need a little bit of Neutrogena or something. But spiritually speaking, if we are set in our ways and we are of, as Jesus was saying, you know, the old wineskins, what's going to happen when the new comes? Are we going to burst? The patch won't go on us. Do you know what I actually found out that in the biblical days, if you had an old wineskin and you wanted to fill it with new wine, you know what you did with it? You soaked it in oil. You soak it in oil, you massage it, you rub it in, and then you let that oil saturate it and permeate it and fill it so that it becomes pliable again and that it becomes manageable again, so that when the fluid of the new wine goes in, it's not going to crack and it's not going to burst. And to me, that screams out loud that we need to be so immersed in the Spirit of God and in His Word so that He can speak to us and do the changing in us that we need, so that these old wineskins are fully pliable, ready for the new thing that He wants to do. So that way our old wineskins are not thrown away. But do you know, sometimes an old wineskin refuses, and I'm talking people, refuses to accept the new. And that's okay. We leave it to God. Sometimes an old wineskin doesn't want to sit in the presence of God, doesn't want to receive the soaking and allow His presence to soothe and heal. And we leave that to God too, because we've all got choices, don't we? But I know for one, this old bag wants more. I do. And I hope no one's offended by that. Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And you know what? The verb for filled, being filled in this scripture, is present ongoing. In other words, when you dive into the Greek of this, you understand that be filled means be filled continually, day by day, minute by minute, so it's not a one-off event. We get filled with the presence of God. We get filled with His Word so that His Word is in us to speak through us and to speak to us. And it's one of those things that we have got the purpose in our hearts. I'm going to do this. I want to do this or not. And making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Just stop and think for a minute what the church, the body of Christ, would look like if we all took the same heart and same passion for His Word that we have on a Sunday morning through every day of the week. It's challenged me, and that's what I do. This is what I do. And yet I have this revelation that if we all apply ourselves to God and serving Him and listening to Him and walking in obedience to Him, what would the church look like? How mobilized would this army be? And that's what He wants to do in these last days that we're living in. Not Pharisaical. Not religious. People of the Spirit being teachable. And that's the thing about new wineskins. They're pliable and open and they stretch and they bend. They don't crack and they don't split. And when we allow God to fill us and lead us and guide us, and we're washed with His Word and filled with the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, it takes away the spirit of heaviness. And we then have the capacity to do whatever He's calling us to do. What would the church look like if we all did it together? If we all purposed in our hearts, "Less of me," like John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, He must increase." A passion for serving God. It would revolutionize the world. And that's my heart. And don't think that you're disqualified for doing it, from doing it, new day. You take those things to God. And if you need to, you repent of it. And if you need to, you let it go. Because don't let anything disqualify you from serving God. Ever. Like I said, if you can speak through a donkey. And it's not a joke. Because I just understand the times that we're living in. The world needs to know Jesus. They need to know the hope. They need to know the life that he has for each and every one of them. Do you know, all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. So when we find him, we have that realization, that instant understanding and acceptance that God's purpose for us has always been written, always been planned. But we get to choose whether we do it or not. We get to choose whether we quit or whether we go on. And every one of us has that choice. You see, I believe in the days that we're coming into, God wants to ignite us. He wants to set a fire in our hearts for him and a love for him that would make our love now feel like a smouldering coal. I just believe that as we develop that deep desire to know him more, that he's going to ignite flames in our hearts, that in itself will burn the dross out, in itself will just radically change us. I was talking with a social worker this week, and she rang to see how I was going. Beautiful lady. And in the process of the discussion, she told me that, she said, I don't want it to be about me, but she said, you know, do you think sometimes when we go through hard times that it's for our good? And I said, absolutely. And because she was on my time, I said, do you know, the Bible says, the Bible says that it's a refining fire that God allows to burn the dross out so that the pure gold will be revealed. And she said, really? I said, yep. And I said, and you know, we get to choose whether we allow it or not. Because we get to choose whether we make it a better situation in our world or we become bitter and withdraw. And our conversation went on a little longer and it was just incredibly spirit-led. And I think for every single one of us, no matter where we're at, there are those conversations to be had. And as that new wine is frothing and bubbling in your spirit, when those questions are asked of you, you speak what God gives you. Don't be afraid. Don't walk in fear and don't compromise. And you'll be amazed what God wants to do. He wants to amaze us. He wants to excite us. He wants us to be not self-aware but God-aware. Not introverted but not extroverted, but outward looking. Because he's made us as we are, and we may be shy or we may be, you know, really outward going people, but God is still going to use you if you allow him to. Not self-centered, but Christ-centered. You see, I just really sense that at times we can be such navel gazers. We can be so, and I'm a deep thinker, and sometimes I look so deep inside that I come out the back of my back because I'm just and end up where I started from. We got to be Christ-centered. Whatever is happening, God, what are you showing me in this? What are you doing in this? What do you want me to do through this? And we've got to be not self-focused but God-focused, so that his agenda is what we have first and foremost in our mind. Not our agendas, you know. Because there's a scripture that says all the wood and the hay and the stubble is going to be burnt away, but only the gold and the silver is going to last, and that's the things we do for God. In the light of eternity, it's what we do for God that will last. But there's a time also to count the cost. And as we count the cost, you've got to say, am I willing to do this? Am I willing to pay the price? Because it may cost a lot of us a lot of things. Proverbs 3:9-11 says, honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. As we count the cost, are we willing to give of ourselves, of our time, of our gifts, of our finances, of our whatever, fill in the blanks? Because if we are, and we're doing it all for Christ, then our barns are going to be full and our vats are going to overflow with new wine. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God wants to flow through you today to reach this world that we're living in. And every single one of us has a sphere of influence that no one else can touch. God has placed you where you are, in a place where only you in this time are anointed to reach those around you. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? You look at your neighbour and say, I'm it. Are we willing? Are we willing to do all we can for Christ in the cause of his gospel? Because I wonder if not, maybe Isaiah 24:7 will be the result. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted sigh. That's sobering, isn't it? Christ was fully God and fully man. And when he came into Jerusalem for the purpose he was born for, he didn't look back. He didn't shrink back from God's purpose. He wasn't swayed by the aggression, by the criticism, by the rejection, by the anger, by the negativity. He set his face like flint. And I thought, what's flint? And I looked it up in my Cambridge dictionary and it said, flint is a piece of stone or metal used in a musket to set fire, or in a cigarette lighter to produce a flame. Quartz, like flint, produces a spark when it's hit by steel, and flint is used as a weapon. Jesus set his face like flint. And I really sense that God is calling us to set our faces like flint, to move forward into the day that God is calling us into, to be prepared to go for it. Just a few questions, and I don't want you to answer. This is what God has been speaking to me. Am I loving God as long as it suits me? Has something happened that's put my fire out? Am I comfortable? If Jesus is Saviour, but is he my Lord? Because if he's Lord, he's Lord over all, not just certain aspects of our lives. And I know in this church the word is going to be preached. Lives are going to be saved. Lives will be changed. When Jesus is Saviour, when he is Lord, he's baptizer in the Holy Spirit, he is healer and he is deliverer, because there's a world of people out there that need deliverance and he wants to do a new thing. Behold, the old is gone. All has become brand new in us, and he wants to do a new thing through us. And I know it because I have a frothy, bubbly gurgle in the pit of my stomach that is just really stirring. Isaiah 43:18, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honour me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, streams in the desert. We're in a desert place, but not for the river. And God wants to give water, and he wants to do this in every single one of us. We're a Pentecostal church, people. And that doesn't mean we have to be Pentecostal to be part of it. But what it means is that the full Godhead is embraced here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are to be embraced, received from God, and to be manifested in our lives in increasing measure. His word will be preached. His Spirit will be present in our lives. His will be done. His kingdom come. Are we willing? And are we ready? I am. So because the gospel of Jesus Christ can't fit into the Mosaic Old Testament, there's only one way to be saved, and that's accepting Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. Hallelujah. He's good. And I'm going to finish there. And I've got 2 minutes spare. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that your word is truth. And Father, in this house, Lord God, I just sense a growing excitement, a growing sense of destiny within each and every one of us, Lord God, who wants to pursue you with a passion. Lord, that we've tasted of the old wine, but Lord God, we're looking for the new wine now. So Father, saturate our souls, fill us, Lord God, with your presence by the power of your Spirit now, that we would know you more, that we would receive from you the things that we need so that we will not crack, we will not tear. And even though we may be broken, Father, we thank you that your presence, your passion for us, Lord, that you died for us, that will be translated into our hearts, that we would, Lord God, just surrender ourselves afresh to you today and say, Lord, use me. Lord, fill me with that new wine. Lord, take me, take my life and make me count for something that will be gold and will be silver, not the wood, the stubble or the hay. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that each one of us would begin to count the cost. Are we willing? Are we ready? Because if we're not ready, Father God, Lord, we ask that you would make us ready, that you would just pinpoint the things that we need to deal with. And Father, let us be as one. Let there be unity. Let there be one accord in the house, Father, because where there is unity, you command the blessing. And I praise you and thank you, Father God, for the people of this church. Lord God, those who are here and those who are listening online today, I thank you, Father God, that you are building a team. You are building a mighty army that you're going to mobilize and that you're going to send forth with the words of truth and the words of life, that we would be people of the Spirit, Lord God. And Lord, it's not for us, it's for you, because we love you. We desire to serve you with every fiber of our being. Lord, use us for your glory. But God, I pray, in the midst of it all, Lord, we just want you. If you never did another thing for us, we just want you, more of you, Lord God. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. If you are listening online or in this house today and have never received Jesus as Saviour and Lord, take time now to reach out to him. Say, Jesus, take my life. Make me your servant. Lord Jesus, take me, all that I've done, all of the wrong things that I've done. Forgive me for that. I don't want to do it anymore. But if you can use me, take me. I'm all yours. And God, I pray right now for those who are praying that prayer. Holy Spirit, you would touch them. You would minister to those hearts that are crying out to you, that they would be born again by the Spirit of God, never the same again. In Jesus' most precious name. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, tell someone and go to a church that's going to support you and is going to love you and going to help you grow. World Church, I'm going to open the altar for those who would like to come forward and receive prayer. For online church today, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.